when I was thinking about how to lead off our conversation this year in terms of actually bringing the living word of God into, you know, sort of the living reality of our day-to-day lives, this conversation about what it means to live in the reality of a year of the Lord, and particularly the year of the Lord's favor, came to mind. And so obviously we're referring there not only to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 in laying claim to these verses, but what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 61. So can you lead us into a conversation about these verses and either read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, or from Luke 4, where Jesus quotes that passage?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that Luke 4, obviously the Isaiah passage is the basis for the Luke 4 passage that Jesus read. And I have to believe that that Luke, as he was, you know, some of us like to write a little bit, and certainly none of us are inspired as Luke was when he wrote the gospel. But I have to believe that he was so excited to get to Luke chapter 4, what we know is Luke 4. I have to believe that he knew that this was the reason he was writing this gospel, to let everybody know, to let the world know that Jesus had come. And so in Luke 4, 16, it says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written. He says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to free the oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord," or the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled, this is really good. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began saying to them, "Today, as you listen, the scripture has been fulfilled." Certainly the resurrection of Jesus that comes much later in Jesus's ministry was the pinnacle of his work. But in terms of Luke explaining what was happening and unfolding, kind of unpacking, as we say now, unpacking this incredible story of the Messiah, this had to have been so, well, more than fun, but it had to have been really exciting for Luke to write these words and to let the cat out of the bag, to be very open about who Jesus was and what he had come to do. And so we see that the people that were in attendance knew something different was happening here, that all that the prophet Isaiah, all that the prophets had promised was sitting before them. And they knew. I believe they knew. I don't believe they knew everything, certainly, like nobody in real time knows everything, but they knew that Jesus's claim was that the claim that he was making was clear, and that there was legitimacy to his claim. And it was literally a new day for them.
This proclamation of the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. This is something that like dawns on each one of us who now call ourselves Christians. Like there was a point in time when it dawned on you that Jesus Christ really is the living God, and that he really is the savior of the world, and that he really has done for you what you could not do for yourself. So I want you to just to imagine for a moment that you were sitting in that synagogue on that particular Sabbath, and Jesus, whom you had known because he had grown up in your community, unrolled the scroll and read these verses and then sat down and said, "You know, today, these verses, these claims of God, these promises of God have been fulfilled in your hearing." We're going to continue talking about these verses and what it means to live in the reality of the year of the Lord's favor. We're talking with our friend Daryl Crouch from Everyone's Wilson, and we'll be right back. Daryl Crouch is here with us. He serves an organization called Everyone's Wilson. You should check it out if you want to know how to impact your local community and actually, you know, like get engaged. You're looking for a model of Christian engagement in the community where you live. Everyone's Wilson is a model of that in Wilson County, Tennessee. Everyone'sWilson.org. Daryl, let's talk about the year of the Lord's favor. Historically, the people who would have heard that, would have heard the language of Leviticus 25, what it meant to live in the year of the Lord's favor. They would have thought about Jubilee and all that that meant. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says that, you know, that's the time you're now living in. And for those who are in Christ, you know, what does that mean for us?
Yeah, it was a phrase that the listeners would have, as you said, been familiar with in terms of this year of Jubilee, this year of freedom, this year where debts were extinguished and are expunged, and people were set free from captivity of indebtedness and servanthood if they chose. It was a year of celebration. It was a year of freedom. And when Jesus used the term, we believe he was speaking about more than 1 year and 365 days. He was speaking of a new era had emerged, the era of the kingdom, an era of the Lord's favor, an era where freedom was now available in the work of the Messiah who had come, who was himself. And so I think for us, the year of the Lord's favor, the favorable year of the Lord, is this season that we're now in that was really inaugurated in this moment, which is really, really neat. It's a really encouraging passage. And Jesus is saying, listen, a new day has come, and the good news of the kingdom is present. It is you. There is no more waiting. And he was saying that his life, his purpose in being on the planet was to usher in this favor of the Lord, this era of grace, this era of salvation, good news of great joy, which will be for all the people that the shepherds heard proclaimed on Christmas morning. And so he's saying, listen, I am him, and there is no more waiting. And I think for us, as I think about Jesus making this statement, he was saying, listen, my life is oriented around, my life and purpose is oriented around ushering in the kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus now and forevermore, to set all of us free from our sin, to conquer death, sin, and the grave on our behalf. Like this reconciliation with God is available. It is present in front of you. And so he was saying, listen, I am going to orient my entire life around this good news. And I think for us, as we start our new year, and many of us have made plans, and many of us, you know, have kind of re-upped on some priorities in our lives, which I think is a wonderful exercise. I think it's a great time to reset. But the question is, as we're making New Year's plans, is to ask ourselves, are we orienting our lives around the kingdom? Are we orienting our priorities around the rule and reign of Jesus, of proclaiming the release to the captives, the spiritual captives, to the spiritually blind? Are we orienting our lives around showing and sharing the gospel? Is that kind of the motivating drive behind the New Year's resolutions and plans and priorities and calendars that we're making? And when we know that our purpose is to join Jesus's kingdom work, then the priorities, the daily habits follow after that. And so I think for us, as it was for Jesus, he said, listen, I'm orienting my life around this, and I'm inviting you to join me. And this is good news of great joy. It's still good news of great joy for our neighbors, for our kids, for our grandkids, for those in our circles of influence. And how then will we live out this good news? And it's really a a New Year's kind of question for me.
I'm aware that in our own like walk of faith every single day, how I live out my faith in a living Lord, how I acknowledge that, not only each and every year, but each and every month, each and every week, each and every day, each and every hour, each and every moment, each and every encounter with another person, each and every opportunity to pray, like this can be a year of the Lord and I can live in his favor, or I can live as if the Lord is not, and this will be a year that is not lived in the favor of the Lord. And I think, Daryl, it's helpful for each of us to acknowledge that in every moment we have a choice.
Every moment, that's so good. Every moment we do, every relationship, we have a lot of different relationships: friends, families, neighbors, coworkers, classmates, folks on the ball field. You know, at our kids' ball games, we sit on the bleacher with their parents as well. And we have a lot of relationships. We have a lot of choices, as you said, about how we engage with other people and why we engage with other people. And Jesus said, "I came to serve, not to be served." And I wonder sometimes if we went into a restaurant or we went into the bank or wherever we do need service for sure. But wonder what would happen if we walked in saying, "I wonder how I can serve in this room. I wonder how I can serve the table in some way." Obviously, the waitresses or the waiter, they have responsibilities, but I wonder how I can serve them. I wonder how I can bless their lives. I wonder how I can add value to the bank teller or to the service person who's at the counter. I wonder how I can serve my employees who work for me. I wonder how I can add value to their lives. It's more than a paycheck. How can I invest in them personally? And I think the question is if I orient my life around the kingdom and around Jesus's rule and reign and the hope that he has come to bring, what does that look like in the daily choices, in the daily relationships, in the way that I posture myself in my own home? That when I just want to be selfish, how can I serve other people? How can I give away this good news? And I think the authenticity of that, Carmen, bears more fruit than we would ever imagine, because at the end of the day, our kids, whether they're young or older, our neighbors, people are watching to see if whether we say the things that we say and the things that we do are consistent. And when they see authenticity in our lives, they see something very compelling, and that's worth following. And otherwise, we're just peddling, more content for people. But this is life that Jesus came to give, life and life abundantly. And as we again calibrate our lives and plan our days and navigate our relationships in a way that invites people to follow Jesus with us, in authenticity, in the commonplaces, God does remarkable work. Jesus spent, and I'll say this, Jesus spent a lot of time in obscure countrysides with a few people. He spent just a lot of time doing normal, mundane things, with really ordinary people. And those people went on to change the world and become, the pillars of our faith, the heroes of our faith. And so I think as we are careful not to discount the mundane, ordinary, everyday relationships and choices we make, God will do something incredible.
So good.